It's easy to love the people we like, but Skip Heitzig says it's better to love even the people we don't, and here's why.
If it's an old colleague or an ex-spouse or some brother or sister who's erred against you, and you pray for them, man, you're free. You sleep well. You're asking God to bless them. Number two, you'll bless them. They'll be blessed. You go, I don't really want them blessed. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because here's what's going to happen. They're not receiving from you now, but you're praying for them and you're getting free of it and you're watching them get blessed. And they won't even know that you're the instrument of that blessing. They won't know the source of it until you get to heaven.
Make the connection.
It's been said that it's useless to hold a person to anything he says while he's in love, drunk, or running for office. The point being that people will do some crazy things in the name of love. And Abraham wasn't any different. However, he wasn't so much concerned about the one he loved as he was about himself, something that hadn't changed much throughout the years. What can we learn from his unfortunate inability to change in this particular area? We'll find out today on The Connection. But before Skip Heitzig gets us started, here's how you can get a study in the book of James from Skip's wife, Lenya.
When you go to the pool or beach during the summer, it doesn't do much good to inflate that inner tube if you aren't going to get into the water. It also doesn't make much sense to go to church each week and learn about having faith in God if you aren't going to put that faith to work in daily life. Live Faithfully is a study through the book of James that teaches the practical applications of the Christian faith. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose explore how James encourages us to put what we learn in church to practical use every day. Get a copy of Live Faithfully for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Sunscreen only helps in the summer sun when you put it on. And the same is true of faith, no matter what season it may be. Learn how practical faith can be. Get Live Faithfully for the special price of just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Love can cause us to do some pretty crazy things. Love for ourselves can cause us to do some really stupid and selfish things. So what's the answer to overcoming that? We'll see if we can't find out as we take a look at an unfortunately common mistake in the life of Abraham.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
Well, it's on through Genesis chapter 20 and the first few verses of chapter 21 today. So if you'll find that spot in your Bible, we'll join Skip Heitzig.
We didn't have full understanding when in chapter 12 he goes to Egypt and says, "Say to Pharaoh, you're my sister." But now we have some information. It wasn't that Abraham was pressured into saying this, or he panicked and he just said it, spur of the moment. Now we understand it's been a pattern. He planned to say this. When in chapter 11 and on into chapter 12, when we read the first read about Sarai and Abram leaving Ur of the Chaldees and going to Haran and then down into the promised land, now we understand that ever since we were married, part of the prenuptial agreement was wherever we go, she's going to say this. Now, so can you imagine their wedding vows? "Will you have me as your lawfully wedded husband to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, and wherever you go, if I'm in trouble, say, you're my sister." "I will." I don't know, maybe she looked at Abram and thought, honey, whatever you want, sweetie, baby, I love you, I'm crazy about you. Yeah, I'll do it. Whatever it was, they made a pact, an agreement, 30 years before. So when in chapter 12 he does it, and now he does it, we understand it's been a pattern. He never broke from sin. He never made a break from it. It's been a pattern and a pattern. And he could have done it more than twice. It's mentioned twice. He could have done it all the time. Whenever you see a Christian fall and you're initially shocked, I can't believe that. What would possess that person suddenly out of the blue to do that? It wasn't sudden. It wasn't out of the blue. They fell in the very spot they were most vulnerable and weakest and unguarded, and over time sowed into that area. We made a pact 30 years ago. It was the kindness that I asked her to do for me. It's a pattern. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah and his wife to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Now, you might say, well, this is kind of weird. Why would he bless him and reward him? Because God woke him up in the middle of the night and spoke audibly to him and said, he's a prophet. So he understands, not that he's impressed with Abraham. He's not impressed with Abraham. He's very impressed with Abraham's God. And he knows that Abraham's God is connected to Abraham. So I'm going to bless him. You know, it's like, where does an 800-pound gorilla sit? Wherever he wants. Where is Abraham connected to this great God going to go? Wherever he wants. Take the land. Go for it. And he leaves. So Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, now watch what he says. Behold, I have given your husband. No, he didn't say that, does he? Oh, yeah. You want to call him your brother? I'll call him your brother, too. Because I'll tell you one thing, sweetheart. He sure didn't act like a husband to you. So he didn't even call him a husband, but a brother. Yeah, I could see a brother doing that, but not a husband. So I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Abraham could not preach to Abimelech. He couldn't. He couldn't give him a message. He couldn't say, no, Abimelech, do you know that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Here's a 4 spiritual law booklet, Abimelech. Let me just go through this with you really quick. He wouldn't have listened to him, right? He had ruined his testimony, yes. He couldn't preach to him. Abimelech wouldn't receive anything from him. But he could pray for him. All of us have somebody in our lives that we have hurt. Don't know what it was. Maybe it was just some dumb sin we committed. You can't preach to them. You can't share anything with them. They won't receive it. They won't listen. If you call on the phone, they'll hang up. If you send them a letter, they'll send it back unopened. They won't receive from you. But you can secretly pray for them. You can secretly pray for them. You say, why would I want to do that? 2 reasons. You'd want to do it, number one, because it'll free you from being bitter. They may be bitter at you, but you can be freed from bitterness by praying for them. If you put your enemies on a prayer list, you won't have a grudge against them. I will guarantee that. If you pray for them, if you daily bring them before the Lord and ask God to bless them, you can't harbor a grudge. If it's an old colleague or an ex-spouse or some brother or sister who's erred against you, and you pray for them, man, you're free. You sleep well. You're asking God to bless them. Number two, you'll bless them. They'll be blessed. You go, I don't really want them blessed. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because here's what's going to happen. They're not receiving from you now, but you're praying for them and you're getting free of it and you're watching them get blessed. And they won't even know that you're the instrument of that blessing. They won't know the source of it until you get to heaven. And in heaven, it will be revealed and they'll be blown away. You mean you were the source of all of that blessing? You prayed for me? Yeah. There will be such a wonderful reunion. It will be so grand and glorious. So you can't preach to everyone, but you can pray for everyone. And you'll be free and others will be blessed. And eternity will tell those stories. So the story is a bad episode, but it ends with a good God proving the truth of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, even though Abraham didn't show it, and are called according to his purpose. Now, I got to say, it's time in my mind for a break. And what I mean by that is the last several chapters have put frowns on our faces and grimaces on our mugs and it's been depressing. Chapter 18 is this discussion as God is planning to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and sends out a party to survey the moral landscape. And then chapter 19 is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the incest with Lot and his family. And chapter 20 is Abraham's relapse into a lack of faith. And you think, oh my goodness, it's getting worse. It's time for a little laughter, right? Well, you're in the right chapter. Chapter 21 introduces us to Yitzhak, Isaac. His name means laughter. It's a crack up because God takes two people that you'd never think could have a child, and they have a child. And so the retirement home gets turned into a maternity ward, you might say. You see? Time for a laugh. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. I love that verse. Just like God said, exactly like he promised, it happened. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set or the exact time of which God had spoken to him. 25 years before God gave him a promise. 25 years, right? Chapter 12, I'll make you a great nation. He was 75. Chapter 13, Abraham, just as numerous as the dust is on the earth, so shall your descendants be. Chapter 15, AB, go outside and look up. If you can count the stars, so shall your descendants be. Chapter 17, the reaffirmation of the covenant. This time Sarah is brought into it. I'm going to have a son. You're going to have a son through her own physical body. Then chapter 18. One hot summer day and nobody's budging, doing anything. Three visitors show up. And one of them's the Lord and he says, "Where's Sarah?" And he goes, "I'll be back this time next year. She's going to have a baby." Now, just like God said, they had a baby. Did you notice something in all that? Did you notice that from the time God gave a promise till the time it was fulfilled was a long time? And you know what? I find that to be true. And that's what bothers some of us. We read God's promises or we feel God has made a promise to us, and then there's a long period of waiting and waiting and waiting, and we go, "God, what did I do wrong? What's the problem here?" And then in God's own perfect time, just as he said, it comes. Why? Why is there so often a lag between the promise and the fulfillment? Well, first of all, if that is the case, then when the fulfillment comes, it makes the fulfillment much more dramatic. Number two, and most obviously, that's how we walk by faith. That's how you get your sea legs, man. You want to become a person of faith? Okay, here's a promise. When can I expect this? Like, I claim it by faith right now in Jesus' name, it's going to happen? That might be 25 years before you see it. You see, if I'm walking down a road and I can see where I'm going, I don't need faith, right? I don't need faith. I can see where I'm going. I can live by sight and not by faith. If I can't see where I'm going, if I'm launching out only on a promise and it's dark, that's where faith kicks in. And when that promise drags on and on and on, and now I'm 100 years old, and I'm thinking, what's the point of having a baby? I won't live till it's 2. It's awesome. It's like a whole new childhood. So the delay. Years ago, there was a family in Scotland named the Clark family. Clark. And the Clark family was a large clan. And it was the father's dream to move his family to America, the golden land of opportunity. He saved and he saved and he worked and he saved. And finally the day came when he was able to buy tickets and get passports. So excited to bring he and his 9 children to America and his wife. A week before they were set to set sail from Liverpool, one of the sons got bit by a dog. Doctors stitched up the wound, but was afraid of rabies, and in those days they quarantined families. The whole family was quarantined, the doctor said, for 14 days. The family, the Clark family, would miss their golden opportunity to go to America. Oh, was that father angry, mad at his son, mad at God, wept. Until 5 days later, they heard the news that the ship that was leaving Liverpool, the Titanic, had sunk in the cold, icy waters, killing 2,300 passengers. He had waited so long and he was so angry. And then he heard the news and he was so thankful and he hugged his son and thanked his son and thanked the dog for biting his son and thanked God for his providence. Because God's delays are not God's denials. At the exact perfect time, Isaac was born. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, crack up. Laughter. Isaac, Yitzhak. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. Why? We're told, as God had commanded him back in chapter 17. So you're going to have a son. And just remember this, not going to be for a long time till you have one, but just remember when you do, 8 days later, circumcise him. So he did it. Now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Why does God, Moses, through the Lord's Spirit who wrote this, keep bringing up his age? Just to show us. This is impossible by human standards. That's why. It's like, oh, just in case you forgot, the couple here, he's 100. She's 90. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. 100 years old, she's 90, impossible by human standards. But answer the question, go back to the question that God asked in chapter 18. Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Remember that? I wonder if she thought about that as she held that little child. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I guess not. Nothing. What are you facing tonight? Is it impossible? Oh, yes, impossible. Well, Skip, you don't understand my circumstances. You don't know what kind of payments I have. You don't know what the doctor said. I admit, impossible. But now bring God into the equation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Little baby rocking in that 90-year-old woman's arms. Wow, what a sight. And I love it. God, verse 6, God has made me laugh. Can you say that? I don't think we laugh enough. I'm glad we do laugh around here. Some would have to say, God has made me serious. I don't know about that. God has made me angry.
but it's righteous anger.
I love it. God made me laugh. Did you know, and Isaac, laughter brought that into their home. Do you know that kids, on an average day, laugh 150 times? You know that adults maybe chuckle 15 times a day? Wow. It's sort of sad, isn't it? Scientists tell us that laughter releases chemicals in the brain that are natural painkillers, that are mood elevators. It's good for us. God made me laugh. I hope he does with you. I hope you bring, there's so much, just look around. Life is ironic enough. You gotta laugh. There's so much to be happy about and so much irony and humor. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. 3 years old, child was weaned, typically in those days. It was a case for celebration, especially because, think of Abraham. He's like, my child's, leaving milk and he's going to solid food. In a spiritual sense, and I am going to take it in that spiritual direction as we close tonight. Any parent who raises a child to be a Christian child is so stoked and, like Abraham, wants a celebration and party when he or she, mom or dad, sees a child not have to be dependent on being spoon-fed spiritually, but they take it on their own initiative to read the Word, understand the Word. It's like, wow, let's have a party. This is awesome. Now, we do need spiritual milk. Peter said, as newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk that you may grow thereby. However, there comes a time when, because a Christian grows, they get off of the need to be spoon-fed and they graduate to being able to, on their own, eat solid food. So the writer of Hebrews says that milk belongs to those who are immature, but those who have solid food are those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I look back to the questions that my son Nate used to ask me when he was just a little tot driving in the car with me, and they would often spurn great conversations or even turn into series. I did a series on walking with God because Nate said, what does that mean, to walk with God? How can a human being walk with God? Because that's a phrase in the Bible. And I thought, that's a great question. And that deserves an honest study and exploration. But now I see what God is doing and has done in his life and the wisdom God has given him and his ability and what he'll say, hey, I was studying the Word and the Lord revealed this to me. And it's like, wow. Celebration time, party time. And isn't it beautiful, parents, when you commit your child to the Lord and you trust God's promises, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. And then when they get older and you get old and you look at them and you go, it's true, it happened. It's joyful, celebration time.
Few things are quite as special as leading a child in your home into the home of our Heavenly Father and then seeing them grow and blossom because of that. No matter what age that may begin at, it's truly something beautiful and special to be a part of. But maybe no one in your family told you about being God's child, or maybe none of them have experienced that for themselves yet. Well, you could be the first in your family to join the family of God. Find out how to do that, and how it might not just change your life, but the life of everyone in your family. Just give us a call and let us tell you more about what it means to follow Jesus. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. That's just about all the time we have for today. But before we go, don't forget that this ministry survives because of the support of listeners like you. In fact, people from Mongolia to Macedonia to Mexico are blessed because of the support of listeners who want others to be blessed by these daily studies, just as they are. You can be one of them with either a one-time donation or by being a monthly supporter. When you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, it's available for just $6 when you call that same number, 1-800-922-1888, or when you visit connectionradio.org. Or you can always write us, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Get a little tense in Abraham's family as we move to Genesis 21 next time. See how it gets resolved when you join us here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.